outside. And all them crazy murderers will never run from inside. You try to keep me down cause you see no joy. All them knows them from, so you call a man a boy. I ain't a tie, can't just see. Open up your eyes.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real.
And here we go, folks. It is Sunday, May the 3rd, 2026, the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Gentiles, and you are listening to today's edition of the Ugly Truth Broadcast. Welcome to the program, folks, on this early Sunday morning. Hope you're all doing well, those of you of goodwill, as we like to say often on this program. We don't wish our enemies well, folks, not when our enemies have consigned themselves, sworn themselves to a blood oath to affect our complete destruction thousands of years before any of us even so much as took our first breath or our first step. No, folks, we wish them utter ruination, utter defeat, utter frustration. We want to see all of their plans come tumbling down with not one stone being left upon the other. There can be no peaceful coexistence with people like this, folks, and I use the word people in this sentence in quotation marks because as events are proving more and more on a daily basis, they don't behave like human beings. And of course, what we're talking about here, folks, are those who refer to themselves as the children of Israel, who went by the term Hebrews in times past, and then Israelites, and then Judites and Judeans. Now they're referred to as Jews. And they refer to themselves proudly as that, folks. This is an important thing. You know, once in a while I'll get a comment on the website where somebody says, you know, why do you have to always point out that so-and-so is a Jew in the story? And I say, well, because that's what they call themselves, okay? We regularly will pair the word terrorist with Jew in news stories detailing something that's just happened, an act of terrorism. And, you know, people flinch at that. They wince at that. They get very uncomfortable at that. And they say, you know, can't you just, you know, why do you have to say terrorist Jew? Well, number one, because it's an act of terrorism that's being discussed in the news story. And the person who did it or who's accused of doing it calls him or herself a Jew. So what's wrong with saying that? Nothing's wrong with it, folks. As we have said often on this program as of late, we have to liberate our language. Once we have liberated our language, we will liberate our minds and our thought processes, and we will get the funk out of our brains, folks, the funk and the gunk that is slowing us down, slowing down our thought processes, and hindering us from doing that thing that has to be done if we stand any chance of surviving this horrible thing in which we find ourselves and the horrible things that are coming our way. Okay. This is very important, folks, the use of precise language. If you don't use precise language, then people don't know what's being discussed. And if they don't know what's being discussed, they don't know what the next step is in fixing this problem. Anyway, we're going to try to keep the program today, folks, at around half an hour. I just wanted to get in here and, you know, get the joints oiled, get some of the rust out. Since I haven't been here in a couple of weeks, I've actually done a few programs, folks, but I just wasn't particularly happy with the outcome, and so I never bothered editing them and putting them up. Yeah, folks, I know this is one of my weaknesses. It's one of my flaws. I don't like to put something out. I don't like to take a cake out of the oven until it's done cooking. And the reason for that is because, as I've said before, you know, when somebody gives me an hour of their time, an hour that they will never get back, I want to make sure that what I put out in front of them is worth their time. We live in a world of constant noise, folks. Constant noise. We don't have any quiet moments really anymore. We have so many people talking at one time. And it's really hard for people who are plugged into that world of constantly listening to things, constantly watching things. It's hard for them to follow a particular train of thought, especially if it's something relatively new or something that is novel in the sense that it's not really being discussed in the mainstream. And as those of you who follow the work that we do here and have for the last couple of decades now, we really are kind of in a corner of the universe that's all our own. And this isn't my words, folks. This is what I hear from lots of people who say, you're the only outfit that covers this topic. You know, how is this possible? Why aren't other people picking up on these things? Well, folks, I really don't have an answer for that because, as I've said often, I don't consider myself to be exceptionally bright. I certainly don't consider myself a genius. There are plenty of people involved in this this business that we refer to as the liberation of the Gentiles who are a lot smarter than yours truly, and yet for some reason they have trouble, you know, putting the pieces of this puzzle together in the way that we do. And, you know, it is a head scratcher, folks. It's something that really, you know, it's frustrating. And so we don't want to add unnecessary noise to what is this already suffocating, deafening wall of noise out there right now. It would, you know, I'll be honest, folks, I really miss the good old days when people wrote articles and they read books and, you know, study of these important things that we're all facing was done within the quietness of your own mind. That's not to say that programs and podcasts aren't a good thing. They certainly have their purpose, but we have to be completely honest with ourselves in understanding that they're only going to go so far. It's like eating sweet snacks all the time for your main diet. Okay, it'll keep you going, but eventually it's going to create problems of its own. And that's how I see a lot of these podcasts and programs. I to be honest, folks, I really don't I don't enjoy coming in here and doing this. I would rather sit down and read articles and offer commentary, written commentary on them, than to actually sit down and do the program. Nevertheless, folks, that was my long explanation as to why the previous programs I've done in the last few weeks have been shelved. Anyway, folks, one of the things that I have heard as of late, people are remarking on the seemingly new direction that we're taking with the discussion here, where we are exploring the nuts and bolts of, you know, the plan to exterminate us. Let's just call it what it is, okay? The plan to exterminate us that has been cooking there on the back burner for the last 3,000 plus years. And, you know, one of the things that we run into often is people say, you know, why are you focusing on this? You know, there's so many important things going on. Well, folks, because everything is related to that. Everything is related to this plan of extermination that is unfolding in real time right now as we speak. It's the philosophy behind it that has to be understood, and which unfortunately is not understood to the degree that it is. Now, yeah, folks, there are a lot of people today who are coming down with Saturday night fever, as I like to refer to it, Saturday night fever, where they are developing this distaste and this distrust and this dislike for the Jews, for the children of Israel, whatever we want to call them. Saturday night fever, of course, folks, being, you know, Saturday, Shabbat, that's the night that the Jews get together and they plan out that, you know, how they're going to implement our destruction over the course of the following 7 days, right? That's the beginning of their week is Shabbat. And so the Gentiles, no question, folks, they are coming down with Saturday night fever. They are sick of what they're seeing, what they're hearing. They're sick of their quality of life, and they're beginning to recognize that the one commonality to all of it is this one group of people who, despite all of the noise they make trying to shout down this growing awareness, nevertheless, you know, people understand something smells bad, okay? Something smells bad. Who did it? Who did it? I want to know who has made this environment. This is the thought process, these folks. I want to know who made our present environment such a horrible place. You know, we can't feed our families. We can't live in safety. Our freedoms are drying up and blowing away by the minute. And it's the same group of people, folks, and not by accidents or coincidence. Again, think back to the parable that Jesus told of the man who owned the field. And so he had all of his workers plant good wheat. And then the next day, the workers came in and they said, "Master, the field is full of weeds." And the response on the part of the landowner was, "An enemy has done this." Meaning, this isn't something that happened by accident. This isn't Mother Nature, you know, blowing her seeds. No, this is something where an enemy has decided that he is going to destroy all of the hard work that you have put into creating this thing. You know, wheat, we get from wheat, we get bread and pasta and other things that are life-sustaining foods, and they intend to choke that wheat out and replace them with weeds. That's the world we live in, folks. The reason that they have been so successful in putting so many weeds in our field is because very little understanding has been gained as to who these people are and what makes them tick. Now, you'll remember a few weeks ago, folks, we did this program talking about how important it is to flush the toilet. You know, there are two principal working parts on the toilet. Of course, you have the receptacle, we'll call it the receptacle, and then you have the handle that gets pushed that sends all of that waste out of the house, okay? Out of the house and in the place where it belongs. And if you don't, for whatever reason, if somebody, a group of people, whatever, they just say, big deal, I'm not going to flush the toilet, then pretty soon, folks, our environment becomes a really nasty place. Well, we're going to continue on with this discussion, folks, because I've had another brainstorm, if you want to call it that. I'll warn you ahead of time. It is, it deals with a similar subject, but I think that it paints a pretty accurate picture of how it is and why it is that we're in the mess that we're in right now. A few years ago, when I made these trips to the Middle East, principally Iran, but other countries as well, Lebanon, the country of my mom's family, came back sick as a dog. and didn't know what it was, but I was just, I said, something is, you know, something's really wrong, sick. So went to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, you have dysentery. Have you been traveling? Yes, I have been. Did you travel to any third world countries? Yes, I did. He says, okay, well, you've got a bad case of dysentery, and you're going to have to, we're going to have to put you on some really powerful medication. In this case, folks, they put me on Cipro, that same medication that famously was given to people when the anthrax, the Israeli engineered anthrax attacks a quarter of a century ago after 9/11. So anyway, folks, if you do a little bit of research into this horrible thing known as dysentery, you'll find out that it's caused by bad water, okay? In effect, water that has been contaminated. Sorry, folks, we're going to have to use some vulgar language here, but contaminated with human shit, okay? Shit in the water. Sorry, I hate to have to be so blunt with my language, especially early on a Sunday morning, but that's the bottom line. When these two things are brought together, water and human feces, and then it gets into your system, you're just going to get sick. That's just the bottom line. So on all of the trips that I made to the Middle East, folks, I came back with this horrible disease, even though I tried as best I could. Don't drink the water. Drink only the bottled water. Do everything you can, but it didn't matter. I still came back sick. Well, folks, in essence, this is the condition in which the Gentile world, and especially the Christian world, finds itself right now, is that we're all suffering from a form of mental and psychological and spiritual dysentery. Okay. For at least for us in the Christian world, and folks, don't underestimate the importance that Christianity has played in forming the world today. Okay. The most powerful countries in the world are foundationed upon Christian thought, Christian philosophy, Christian civilization. Okay. Everything about our world right now is the direct result of the Western world adopting Christianity. Okay. The problem is, folks, is that we were never given the clean water that Jesus Christ intended. From the very beginning, when they tried to mix all of this, all of the Old Testament characters and stories and thought patterns from the Jews, and to mix it with the pure, life-saving, clean water of Jesus Christ's teachings, this dysentery began. Now, thousands of years ago, it was a very small amount, and this is the reason why Christian civilization was able to grow and to flourish in the fashion that it did. Okay, we were sick, we just didn't know that we were sick. You know, we still had this contaminated water. It's only really in the last couple of hundred years where our enemies have dumped more and more of their raw sewage into this water, and now we are really feeling the effects of this dysentery. This dysentery, of course, folks, is the raw sewage of the Old Testament. Okay? Now, I have to have this discussion, folks, because I run into it all the time. You can't be a Christian without believing in the Old Testament. You can't believe in Jesus Christ without believing in the Old Testament. If it weren't for the Old Testament, there would be no Christianity. No, folks, wrong, false, completely false. I'm telling this, I'm saying this right now as a Christian who totally rejects everything that's in the Old Testament, in particular, the characters in them and the evil that they did. Okay, these were not good, holy people like we were taught. These were not precursors to Jesus Christ, as we have been told. Okay, That is the sewage that was dumped into the wellspring of Christianity, of Christian thought, Christian philosophy, that has slowly poisoned us to the point where we can't fight back against the sickness. Now, folks, many of you out there are saying to yourselves, well, why are we having this conversation now? I mean, it's so late in the game. What good is it going to do to, you know, to have this sickness or this discussion now about the sickness when it appears to be all over? Well, folks, in some regards, yeah, it's all over. But in other regards, it's not. Jesus said that the gates of hell would not prevail against what he had built, what he had brought. And what that means is that things are going to be rebuilt. They're going to be reborn. They're going to be resurrected. And what that means is that when we begin rebuilding this thing, folks, we have to make sure that the raw sewage of all Jewish thoughts, all Jewish ideas, all vestiges of that septic tank known as the synagogue, that it doesn't make its way into our water system. These are two things that should never be mixed. And anybody who proposes mixing these two in the future, folks, let them be anathema. Let them be cast out. Because I do believe, folks, that we're going to be, whether we live to see it or not, these horrible life forms that Jesus referred to as children of their father, the devil, they're going to be brought down. They're going to be tossed into the lake of fire, along with all of those who have been enablers for these people, who have looked the other way as this raw sewage was dumped into our drinking water and has made us sick and has told us all along, oh, no, it's okay. You just caught a little stomach bug. It's, you know, keep drinking from the water. Keep drinking the water from the water source. Even when we've had people come forward and say, hey, look, I've got pictures of these people dumping this sewage into the well. And the people that we have entrusted to protect us from that have done nothing, folks. And that's the reason why, whether they're governments, whether they are churches, whatever they are, they're unable to get a handle on this thing. Now, amidst all of this very dark talk, folks, there are wonderful things that have happened since the last time we were together. Let's see, one of them, obviously, the fact that the situation's getting worse in the Middle East. More people are being murdered by the Jews, especially in Lebanon. We saw the picture of the IDF soldier smashing the statue of Jesus. And let's see what else. We had a Catholic nun that was beat up by some terrorist Jew in Jerusalem just in the last couple days. And then let's see what else. A convent was bombed by the Jews, a convent in Lebanon. These are all good things, folks. And I know you're saying to yourselves, well, wait a minute. You're always lecturing us about how we shouldn't call it Good Friday because nothing good happened on that day. And we should be precise in our language by referring to it as Crucifixion Friday, which is true. I do, folks. But in this case, okay, all of the murder and the mayhem, the smashing of the statue of Jesus Christ, the physical assault on the nun, the bombing of the convent, and all of the other ugly things that have taken place since we were last together. In effect, these are good things, folks. These are good things because, number one, what it indicates is that the Jews they're really coming out in the open now. They're not bothering to hide in the shadows the way that they have in the past. And, you know, this has always preceded their destruction, when they come out loud and proud, large and in charge with all of their fire and fury. And this is the thing that breaks the spell that the Gentiles are under. And then the Gentiles realize, oh gosh, these people are nuts. You know, this is what Jesus meant when he said that they were children of their father, the devil. Okay. Now, again, folks, as we say often on this program, we want to make sure that the discussion surrounding these events takes place in its proper way. There's been a flurry of articles written by Jews in Israel saying, oh, the smashing of the crucifix, what a terrible thing. This is an abrogation and a denial of the peaceful and tolerant teachings of Judaism. No, folks, smashing religious statues, the Jews are commanded to do that, and not in the Talmud. They're commanded to do that in the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, to be specific, folks. When Moses is, at least the Moses of the Old Testament, is giving the Hebrews their marching orders for what they're supposed to do when they invade these lands and steal them for themselves. One of the things he says is, you know, destroy their altars, smash their sacred statues, put their churches and other places of worship to the torch. Okay, so these individuals of whatever stripe, Jew or Gentile, who get up there and on their pulpit and they start preaching about how this is not representative of true Judaism, they're lying, folks. They're lying. And it's not just the Jews who share, who they don't hold the blame entirely for this, folks. These passages have been there as part of our Christian heritage now for thousands of years for us to read and to study for ourselves. And in those rare cases where somebody did bother to read them and they would go to whoever their religious authority was and say, hey, what about this stuff here? What about this? Oh, no, 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 don't pay any attention to that. That was a different time. That was then, this is now, you know, it's a new age. No, folks, it's not. You know, there's this story, interesting story that I meant to bring up in a program about a year or so ago. And it's the story of Clarence the crocodile. This is a real story, folks. In Israel, there was this crocodile that this family kept as a pet for 30 years, and his name was Clarence, and raised as a pet, domesticated, was given a home, it was fed, everything it needed in order to keep itself alive for 30 years was provided to it. And then one day, folks, what happened? Whoever was tasked with feeding this crocodile every day, I'm sure it was a Gentile, went in to feed the crocodile, and the crocodile attacked him, okay, did serious injury to him. I don't, they never followed up on the story. And everybody was just bewildered. The family that had brought Clarence into their home and had trained, you know, had given him a place to live. They fed him every day. They did all of these things. And yet, after 30 years of this, the nature of the beast came out. Looking at the story right now, it says, boy, that's a big crocodile. Okay. It says, Clarence, let's see, let me just read the first paragraph. Clarence the crocodile, who attacked a worker at the Biblical Zoo in Jerusalem, severely injuring him, had lived for decades with a family in a lot that's down by the, I believe it's down by the Red Sea, folks. Let's see. The Morris family, who raised Clarence the crocodile, asked that he be donated to the zoo after his death. Okay. So the guy who got attacked went through 9 hours of surgery, and then he was in intensive care for some time after that. Okay. For more than 30 years, Clarence lived with Dr. Morris and his wife, Faye. It's a terrible tragedy, their son Andrew said. The caretaker who was bitten had been devotedly caring for Clarence for 12 years. Well, folks, you know where we're going with this story, right? Okay. How everybody is shocked at the behavior of Clarence the crocodile. You know, he was treated so well. He was made a pet. He was fed. He was given a habitat in which to live. And then out of the blue, for reasons that just don't make any sense, Clarence attacked this guy and almost killed him. Well, of course he did, folks. He's a crocodile, okay? You're not going to tame a crocodile. The nature of the beast is always going to reveal itself at some point, whether it takes 30 years, whether it takes 3,000 years. And we have been living with this crocodile and with his philosophy, the philosophy that guides his behavior. We've been living with it now, folks, as Christians, for the last 2,000 years. It's been there as an open book for us to study and to understand for ourselves, and nobody bothered to do it. Those who did try to do it were declared heretics, and they were cast out. Even though they were saying, hey, look, these people here, you know, they can't be God's chosen people and at the same time be children of their father, the devil, as Jesus described them. It's got to be one or the other. That's where we are, folks. We have to begin this process of cleaning up our water. And it's not enough to just put a couple of purification tablets in it. Who wants to drink water, knowing what's in it? Who wants to drink it just because it's had a little bit of bleach put into it? We deserve the clean, life-saving water that Jesus Christ gave us 2,000 years ago. You know, we always hear by people, oh, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. Well, what about the water of Jesus? What about his teachings and his warnings about how dangerous this race of half-human, half-crocodiles are who are running the world today? Okay? How about that clean water? We can't tolerate this anymore, folks. Whatever is left after the crocodile finishes with his rampage, whatever is left, just like that caretaker, okay, if he still has all of his arms and legs, of course he's not going to be the same person. He'll no doubt suffer from all sorts of mental trauma as a result of what he went through. Whatever's left of us, of our world, we have to make sure that this mixing of the sewage of the synagogue and the pure, clean, perfect water that Jesus Christ left for us, that mixing does not take place. Anyway, folks, I know we kind of bounced all over the place this morning. I'm hoping tomorrow, folks, to begin our Monday, Wednesday, Friday programs. Can't make any promises. Like I said, folks, I really have to gear myself up to come in here and do this. I'm my own worst critic in that regard, folks. If I feel like I look at this as my classroom, okay, that I'm standing here in front of you and teaching a course on something, and I know what I want to say before I come in, and then as soon as I start talking, I forget 9/10 of it. And, of course, folks, this is part of the condition of the world in which we live today. One more quick thing that I want to throw out there. First of all, I want to congratulate and thank Tucker Carlson for the excellent work he is doing. He is pushing the envelope out in directions I would never have imagined, directions and degrees that I would never have imagined. As I've said before, if somebody would come to me a year ago and shown me a sampling of what's being discussed now, I would have said no way, not this early. He's doing a good job, folks. And essentially what he's doing is he is trying to break the spell under which the Jews hold all of us. Now, I bring this up because I had a conversation with somebody over the weekend where they were saying, well, you know, why isn't Tucker saying this and why isn't he saying that? Well, folks, we have many spells over us. What he is trying to do, he's not going to have a conversation with his audience like you'll hear on this program. Okay, he'll do the usual thing where he says, Judaism is a peaceful religion, and the Jews that I know are peaceful people, without delving too much into this other stuff. And so the spell that he's really trying to break, folks, is to peel away this love affair that the American people have with Israel. Okay, that's basically what it is. If we don't do that, if we don't divorce ourselves and decouple ourselves from Israel, they're going to sink us to the bottom of the ocean the way that they tried to do to the USS Liberty in 1967. That's his mission. That's the spell he has to break. The spell that we are dedicated to breaking here is the entire thing from A to Z, folks. It's not enough to simply, as Americans, to divorce ourselves from Israel. We, as Christians, as human beings, as Gentiles, we have to divorce ourselves from the Jews entirely. And that means not just taking away their power in finance, in the media, politics, whatever. We can't allow any of their sewage to be dumped into our drinking water anymore. We have to understand that nothing that they bring to this is of any good to us. It is designed to sicken us and to destroy us. And this is not something that just began a few years ago, folks, with the resurrection of the State of Israel. They have been out to destroy us since the day Cain talked Abel into following him out into the field so that he could bash his brains in with a rock. We have to completely cleanse our system of this. We need the spiritual and the philosophical version of Cipro to get all of this poison out of our systems and never allow it in again, folks. And by doing that, we will make sure that Jesus' promise that the gates of hell will not prevail really does come to fruition. Anyway, that's it for today, folks. Hopefully, we will be back together again tomorrow, and we will begin delving into some of the politics going on right now, particularly with what's going on in Iran and in Lebanon, and the fact that, for all intents and purposes, the President of the United States finds himself unable to say no to Netanyahu's demands. Not because he's a slavish, slobbering slave to the Jews, folks, but literally because he knows that one wrong move on his part and the Jews are going to incinerate the entire planet. Anyway, folks, that's it for today on this Sunday, May the 3rd, 2026 edition of the Ugly Truth Broadcast. Think about these things, folks, and begin the process of cleansing your systems. Get this poison out of your systems. Never drink from that poison tainted well again, folks. Let us drink from the pure, perfect waters that Jesus Christ gave us. He said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. It means it begins with him and it ends with him. And he referred to his enemies as nothing less than the children of Satan. So that's it for today, folks. Till we meet again, stay strong, stay safe, and keep the faith.